Amen. Well, wonderful. Well, we had a little bit of a change of venue there from outside the inside. And but thank God in these times, nothing seems to go as we wanted it to go the first time. But thank God, God's not shocked. He's not confused. He's not lost. He's not distracted like we get sometimes. And so, again, happy Mother's Day. And to my mom, an incredible woman of God, who prayed me in to the kingdom and every one of her children. And we're going to watch the next generation and the next generation walk with him. So thanks, Mom, for all that you have done. And even now, as you stand in a different season in your life, and the power that you possess in prayer is as mighty as the day that you got saved or all through your life. And we just thank God for the people's lives and being changed in the midst of it. And it's funny because me and my mom were talking, and she said that she has to go down for physical therapy still. And at the physical therapist, she met somebody from that she went to school with. And the guy said, I hope I make it. And mom gave him a track and said, you only make it through Jesus Christ. And then the physical therapist, she's given her a Bible, given her children a Bible, or grandchildren now. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in or what God allows us to walk through. When our hearts are for him and our focus is him, then people's lives are changed by him through our lives. So happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and to mine. If you have your Bibles this morning, now that we got to hear from the Malo household and the children and my bride, they were camping and came in on a fly to celebrate with us. But if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And we're going to just mainly focus on this one scripture, where it says, you know, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And so as we walk, you know, with the Lord, we're hearing Paul, his cry before, he was longing to see Timothy, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. He's longing to see Timothy. And here's why, because I'm reminded of your sincere faith. And, you know, I believe that that's our greatest desire for each one of us is our Lord help us in our unbelief, as the disciples said, and let faith arise. For when faith comes, the enemy is scattered. But Timothy, excuse me, he had a sincere faith, Paul said. You know, it's a faith that was consistent. It's a faith that was strong. It's one that he wasn't going to be distracted or dissuaded. And so as we look at that scripture today, we're going to chew on that just a little bit. But I want you to know, you know, if you've become a mom, for those that have become new moms, you might not quite be there yet as far as some of the things that moms do. But you've turned into a mom when? All right. You've turned into a mom when you automatically double knot everything you tie. All right. When you find yourself humming a VeggieTales song while doing dishes. Okay. You become a mom. You become a mom when you hear a baby cry in the grocery store and you start to rock left and right automatically. All right. That's when you know you've become a mom. You become a mom when you are out for a nice romantic evening with your husband and you find yourself reaching across the table and cutting his meat in small pieces. All right. That's when you find that you have become a mom. And we thank God for all of the amazing moms at Rock Solid Church. And of course, anyone else that's watching from somewhere. You know, we're here to glorify and honor God that he has created us for such a time as this, as Kendra had spoken. You know, and many godly women have gone on before. Every lady that's represented here in the power and the spirit of God, and the women that stood in the power of God through his word, through the Holy Spirit, they have always affected people's lives. They have always changed people's lives. If you're a mom today, then you have the power to affect generations when you stand on the word of God and you proclaim the truth. You know, and I beg you today not to sell yourself short. Too many young ladies and too many women have sold themselves short of who they are because they believe the lie. And I want you to know that you have a mighty calling at this time in your life. The world is in great need of leaders, and it's in great need of those who will stand on the word of God alone. No matter what your neighbors say or anyone else around you, ladies, you stand on the word of God. And that goes for each and every one of us. And you train up the men and women for tomorrow in the things of God. Tomorrow is coming quickly for each and every one of us, but the training and equipping that happens now, it sets each one of the children on a course, and those that will change the world. Some of them will change only a few people's lives. Some of them will change many people's lives. Some of them will change entire communities. Some of them will change counties, states, and countries. So don't fall short, or don't sell yourself short by thinking less than what God can do in you and through you. For we know that Timothy's faith was a sincere faith. It was legitimate. It was one that was strong. It was one that was powerful. We don't know whether Timothy lost his dad early on or what it was, but his grandmother and his mother, we knew he was a Greek, but his mother and his grandmother are the ones that have built that structure into him. So if you're a grandma today, when them grandbabies come over, make sure that the word of God comes out. Make sure that it's the principles and the stories. Make sure that when you take them walks with them out in the spring or the summertime, that God gets the glory for every chirping bird, every woodpecker that's pounding his head against the branch to get a bug, everything that crosses the road in front of you, that God gets all the glory. Let's train our children from a young age in every generation that we have before us. You know, and although we honor those who are moms today, let me say that every woman who has decided to follow the Lord has stepped into a high calling of proclaiming and building the kingdom of God. Every single woman and every man also on the day of your salvation, you stepped into another dimension. And it's a spiritual dimension. It's a dimension that's much higher than what you were living. And it's one that's unfathomable to most until we read the word of God. And then we have the revelatory knowledge that Jesus Christ has given us and the Apostle Paul and many other writers through the Spirit of God that opens up another way of living that supersedes the loneliness, it supersedes the depression, it supersedes the feelings of failures, it supersedes the natural premises of man that runs around trying to control everything in their lives. So I want to encourage you, everyone that has named the name of Jesus Christ, you have a high calling today. And our job is to walk in a sincere faith. It's a faith that doesn't compromise. It's a faith that doesn't back down. It's a faith that as we proclaim God's word, it changes the atmosphere. It changes people. It drives out the darkness in people's lives. He's for you. We're for you. Every husband is for their wives. And all the men said, amen.
Amen.
All right. That's the way it works. And you know, there are several women. When we look at the founding of this country, a lot of times we don't hear about what the women have done. But there were several women that were spies for America. Oh, yeah. Yeah, women are good at that. Oh, they hear things. They see things. They look around. They don't even have to listen very hard because we're pretty loud. But they know these things that are going on in our lives. And how do you know? Oh, I listen. Oh, I hear. And so it's not amazing that God would use them during the Revolutionary War, that they were spies. And there was one woman named Lydia Dara. And when she was supplying intelligence to the army by hosting meetings or hosting dinners and feeding the British soldiers. So she would bring the commanders in or the different British soldiers, and then she would go behind the wall and she would just listen from different places and being so kind and sweet and serving them. And then she was actually able, when she was listening to their, I have to read this because I didn't memorize it, but listening in secret to their meeting and learning the plans to attack George Washington's army at White Marsh, she alerted the Americans who were able to prepare for the planned surprise attack. And there was another woman by the name of Jane Thomas, and her husband was Colonel John Thomas. He was a prisoner of the British for 14 months. On a visit to him, she learned the plans to attack the Americans at Cedar Springs. See, once again, She's turning that ear. She's just coming through very nice and very kind and very sweet and taking all the information in. Watch yourselves, men. They're always listening, all right? And then this woman, after that, she rode almost 60 miles on a horse, and she alerted them to the danger, giving them time to prepare for the defense against the British. So just a couple of women. I mean, here she is putting her life on the line, even going to visit her husband. And then she's listening, getting information. And then she takes off on her horse, 60 miles on a horse, to let him know that old adage, the British are coming, right? And so, ladies, when you have to throw an extra load of laundry on, remember Miss Jane Thomas, who rode 60 miles on a horse, all right? And then there was through the snow, uphill both ways. And then one more lady that I'd like to mention, and that was Mary Bartlett. And she was the wife of the signer Josiah Bartlett, who signed the Declaration. And he was the first one in New Hampshire to sign. And they also faced many hardships. In 1774, arsonists, those assumed to be loyalists opposed to Josiah's support of the Americans, burned down the Bartlett's home. Mary did not despair, but she simply moved her 12 children to the family's farm. A biographer noted that she managed the farm herself, and in all of her letters to her husband, who was in Washington, and they were setting up, or in Philly, with the Continental Congress and all of that, in all the letters to her husband and her children, there is not one word of regret at his course or pity for herself, left alone to bear the double duties incumbent upon her. So here's a woman, just magnificent women. And I believe that there's many, the magnificent women are here right now, just as these ladies. And when there's a challenge that arises, we have watched women take other children into their homes, even with their own. And we have watched them deny themselves and lift up others and give their lives for the many, whether it's traveling around the world and preaching the gospel, whatever it is, surrendering. I want you to know there are noble women in the house of God today, but these are just a few of them that we hear about in the founding of our great country, that no matter what comes, they had a sincere faith. These women had a sincere faith that even though her husband was away trying to build the basis of a country or the foundation of a brand new country or the American experiment, as they say, that they were by themselves in this one with 12 children, moving them after the house was burned and losing everything. And yet her husband still had to leave, and she ran the farm with some help, obviously. But she was in charge of the whole thing. So I want you to know, ladies, I believe there's a lot more inside of you than has ever been tapped. Sometimes, unfortunately, until pressure comes, we don't see how much is inside of every one of you ladies. But we know that because the Spirit of God lives inside of you, that nothing is impossible. And we know that He'll give you nothing more than what you can handle. And so I want to encourage you, stand in your faith, stand in the face of adversity, stand when the world comes against you, stand when people mock you, stand when people ridicule you. Don't be moved by their foolishness, because Timothy learned a sincere faith from his mother and his grandmother. And I guarantee you that anyone who stands for faith, anyone who stands for the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be ridiculed and mocked. But Timothy wouldn't be moved, and he wasn't moved because of his mother and his grandmother. And again, in 2 Timothy, there's John Wesley. We remember him, of course, and his mother, Susanna, who had 19 children, right? And she comes up quite often when it comes to amazing women of faith. Yeah, and her husband was gone quite a bit also in preaching the gospel. But when they sent their son off to seminary, he wrote a letter back to his mother. And he said, "Mom, I'm surprised at the amount of drinking that's going on in the seminary." Yeah, now, who would have thought back then? But it's in England, and it's a normal thing that they do. But he had set his life aside. And obviously, John Wesley is the one that is the father of the Methodist movement. But he wrote his mother a letter, and he answered a question. And after writing to his mother, Susanna Wesley, for her counsel due to the amount of drinking by those who were in seminary, he received the following words: "My dear son, remember that anything which increases the authority of the body over the mind is an evil thing. That's all she said. What words of wisdom, what powerful words of wisdom. That as he walks and goes off to seminary, she doesn't ridicule. She doesn't go off on anything else except anything. And that, I believe that's a key point for us. Anything that increases the authority of the body over the mind or over the spirit is something that is going to bring you or take you out of what God has planned for you. Because we're not here to feed that lust or that desire of who I am, but we're here to lay down our lives so that everyone would be glorified by who he is. Amen. Mm-hmm. So as we read again in 2 Timothy 1:5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your mother and your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Moms, I'm sure that if you know Jesus Christ, that it is in you as well. I'm sure for the men that it is in you as well. It's in you. Now, what we do with it, that's a different ballgame. But I'm sure that it is in you this morning. And every young person that's listening, it's in you. There's a faith. Everyone is given a, I'm going to say a nugget of faith, but it's not a measure. Sorry. The word just flipped out of my mind. But a measure of faith. So there's an opportunity for you to walk in sincere faith. There's a faith, and we know that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that faith is something that we're to walk out and live out in every situation that's before us. And I believe that there's a sincere faith in every single believer. Some, maybe because of lack of discipline, maybe because of their fear, maybe because they don't have much support, whatever the reasoning is, some hasn't turned into a sincere faith in people's lives that have gone on before us, and they never fulfilled the call of God in their lives. But I believe that this is a day that's coming. Even as I was sharing with Landon earlier, him and Bren were practicing the songs of worship here, and they were strumming, and he just got strumming really strong, and we said, son, you got to be careful because you'll drown out your mother in that when you're strumming, because he just got into it, you know. And I said, but I believe that in the future, son, in your lifetime, you're going to see where this is what church will look like. A man on a guitar in a home with 20 or 30 people, and you'll have church together. And the other church doors, the ones that you're used to, you won't be able to look inside of them very much because of the end times and what we're living in. And I believe that we're coming into a time where we have already seen it, that we need to prepare for that and to find the richness of small groups, the richness of getting together in a home, the richness. Listen, if you're not in a life group this morning, I want to encourage you, call Kim at the office and find out where the life groups are around you. Get into small groups. What we want to do, you know, our desire is obviously to raise up other leaders to lead more small groups. And the more small groups we have, the more people's lives we can touch. Because when a church, you know, gets above 50 or 100 people, one man can't possibly touch them all, even over 50. Mm. And so we have many, but we need many more, because we believe that, you know, our fingers or our arms need to reach out into towns that we haven't even stepped into yet. It's going to take men and women who have a sincere faith, where faith is above and beyond anything else that guides them, drives them, controls them, desire in their heart, anything else. If there's a desire above fulfilling the call in our lives, then we're chasing after something that's less than what the King of eternity, the King of all creation, has placed in our hearts. And one of the things that he has spoken over us, I've never been more fulfilled than walking out the plan of God. I've never been stronger than when I walked with other men of God that were walking with the Lord. When we walk together, each one supplying what's lacking. You know, we need you, men and women, we need you to walk out that sincere faith. One that doesn't look left or right. One that looks, how do I bring everything I am and everything I have in this submission to that call that he's placed upon my life. For that one more person. We all have a neighbor. I met one this morning. I was out walking, taking my prayer walk down the end of our road, and I met a gentleman that just bought that little, there was a little house up here next to us. And I met him this morning, him and his dog. I thought his dog was going to rip my face off, but he didn't, as you can tell. But he grabbed the dog. He had the both hands on the rope and the rope wrapped around his leg in order to hold this dog back. And I thought, dear Lord, we might have a different church service this morning and somebody else might be preaching, but that'd be all right. And but come to find out, you know, we've had a relationship with the person before. Didn't even know they moved in. But I know that God's got a call in his life because nobody moves next to me without having a call of God on their lives. Anyone that's close to us has to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you. The call is mighty. The call is powerful. It breaks yokes. It destroys lies, yeah. Bondages, yeah. Yeah. Family yes. curses. That yoke yes. is so mighty that even the darkest of hearts can't stand against it, because who can stand against God and win? And he lives on the inside of each and every one of us. So, you know, as we look at the beginning of that verse, it says, I'm persuaded. You know, I've been reminded. Here is a young man who was so strong in his faith that Paul said, hey, I'm reminded of you. You know what? When I think about people of faith, I'm persuaded. I'm reminded of something that your mother and your grandmother built into you. And you're the one that I want to have come with me. You're the one that I want to walk with me. I need you to prepare yourself even more because the road is going to be tough. So if you want to get tough, he left him with his mother and his grandmother. So they'll toughen you up. They'll get you ready. And I don't know about you, but I know my mom helped a lot in that as she stood on the word of God. And she just kept pressing into the things of God. You know, I've been reminded and I'm persuaded like two bookends with the most important thing that we can pass on to our children and our grandchildren found in the middle, right? I'm reminded and I'm persuaded of what? The sincere faith that's inside of you. You know, so what is it that we need to be reminded of and then persuaded is the most important that we can pass on to our children, our grandchildren. Most important thing that we can pass on to our children is a sincere faith. You know, that's the most important thing that we can do. And, you know, we know this already, but we often forget. Or we don't know this, and sometimes we even strongly disagree. Sometimes people have disagreed that I don't think I have a call on my life. I don't know how God can use me. I've heard this come from people's lives. And so this morning, if you're out there, I want you to know I strongly agree that there's a call and that your sincere faith will change people's mm-hmm. lives. The word sincere, it means to not pretend. Not pretend. How many people come to church this Sunday or will go to church this Sunday, even though many of them are closed down and will never open up again, and others are open? You know, right now, obviously, we're in a season where ours is closed, but no matter where we are, the presence of God comes. And wherever we are, let's not pretend. You know, we didn't pretend to worship today, say, well, it's not that big a deal. No, we pressed into worship this morning. We can't pretend to love one another, right? We know people that pretend to do that. The minute strife comes or a challenge comes, they quit and they walk away. The problem with marriages in the church where the divorce rate is almost as high as it is in the world. Why? Because when challenges come in, some people that have been pretending to walk with the Lord, their trust and their faith isn't in him, but it's in their circumstances and situations. And therefore, they justify it. And I want to just encourage you. It's a time not to pretend. When you're around your friends, you're talking like the world and telling the worldly jokes. But then when you come to church, we act a different way. This wasn't the faith that Paul was talking about that he saw in Timothy. He saw faith that Timothy wasn't pretending. He was ready to lay down his life. He was ready to go and walk with Paul. And eventually, he would. But Paul could see it in his heart. There had to be some things when they sat to see Timothy listening intently, wanting to be around Paul when he was there. And now Paul being stoned in front of Timothy, that's quite the introduction to Christianity and to leadership. Yeah. And yet Timothy, his faith was not feigned by that, but he stayed there with Paul to the point where Paul said, I see it in you. I see the call of God in you. Oh, that we would press in. That when trials and struggles come, let's not have a pretentious faith or one that we pretend to have. Our job is to walk together all the way through to eternity. Yes, we're going to have some disagreements over time, but sincere faith, the Bible says, if you have a problem with a brother, you go to the brother. That's a sincere faith. A sincere faith is one that forgives the most horrible things that have been done to you, and getting to a place where you no longer hold that person responsible for your hurt and your pain. Sincere faith says, Father, you're going to have to do this because I'm too weak. And guess what? He's able. Our God is able to heal even the most broken heart, Amen. Even the most downcast soul and spirit, even those who are so far in our minds beyond repair. God's love is so rich and so deep that even in them, he can build such a sincere faith. We see sincere faith in many people that come through the house of God into Rock Solid Church. I want you to know we see sincere faith in every meeting that we have. And our desire is that each and every one would have a sincere faith, not pretend. But a sincere faith is overflowing. And when faith is overflowing, it's outflowing.
That's right.
You can't have sincere faith without an outflowing faith. You can't be so in love with God and yet you talk with no one about it. You can't walk with the Lord and say, I'm so in love with the Father, but yet I'm going to stay home. And I'm not talking about during COVID. I'm talking about every day of life, where I'm so in love with Jesus. Me and Jesus have a great relationship, but I just can't take people. Now, one pastor said, you know, the ministry would be amazing if it wasn't for people. And so we're going to deal with people all the days of our lives. We're going to walk with them. But a sincere faith is an outflowing faith. It's a faith that no matter what comes, somehow they're going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow I'm going to express him. And the other day I got a phone call and just went and did some plumbing just to help out a brother. I wanted to express my sincere faith of other men and women stepping out in faith and come alongside and strengthen. So if you have a sincere faith, it's going to be an outflowing or an overflowing faith. You know, when we look at in Timothy there in verse 3, what does Paul say? I thank God. There's several things that he does here. An overflowing or an outflowing or a sincere faith is one where he says in verse 3, first, number one, I thank God. Oh, that's our heart's cry, is that we would give thanks to God. We would give praise to God. See, a sincere faith never stops giving God glory. When we arise in the morning, the first thought is, oh, God, thank you for another day. Whether it's 30 below or 100 degrees above or somewhere in between like it is today, it's a day that he has made for us to be able to express our sincere faith so that someone sees him and they're changed forever. Number two, he said, I serve. So Paul said, first thing I do is I give God thanks. Number two is I serve. See, this is what he must have seen in Timothy. He must have watched Timothy in different ways, how he served. Number three, I pray. The Bible says, pray at all times, right? Pray without ceasing. He said that that time of prayer is just talking with God. It's sitting and desiring him more than we desire other human beings on the planet. How many hours, endless hours, do we have talking with men and women? And yet, how little is accomplished sometimes, where maybe fewer words could have been shared, but yet words of faith, words from eternity, words from the throne room of God, words from the Spirit of the living God, where a few words could have changed everything rather than a plethora of words that amounted to very little. Yeah. I've noticed as I get older, thank goodness I'm not as old as, you know, some of the other pastors in the church. And but as I get older, I desire to listen more, say less, but yet what we say has more weight. It has more authority. It has more power, and it changes people's lives. More words that would build, strengthen, encourage, and bring an abundance of mercy and grace into people's lives. I just want to encourage you, mothers, on this day, your words, they bring life, or they bring death. And we've heard testimonies of both. We've heard the mothers who have spoken the words of God, and it built men of God, women of God, in such strength that they knew they could conquer the world with Christ. And we've seen where others were ridiculed and mocked and complained about constantly, and where they didn't have a very colorful outlook on life, but they always felt less than. No matter what was said over your life, if they were encouraging words by your mom, we agree with it. If they were discouraging words, we rebuke it. And now the Bible says, think on these things, because God's words over you are beautiful, they're wonderful, they're powerful, they're encouraging, and they destroy the yoke of bondage. Amen. So you're free now in the name of Jesus Christ from every negative thought, word, and deed that's ever been spoken over you. So, and this is our prayer for each and every one. Because like we said, number one, Paul, he gave thanks to God. Number two, he served. So question is, where do you serve today? Are we serving our neighbors just to be able to show them the love of God? Are we serving in the house and doing our chores? Listen, there's all kinds of needs in the house. And that's our job. That's what Paul said. I thank God. I serve. I pray without ceasing. And number four, he said, I long to see you. So his desire is that we're in fellowship with one another. And the purpose is fellowship. You know, it's how beautiful is it when sons and daughters of God come together, and in that God commands the blessing when we walk in unity. And if our world, if our country needs one word this year, it would be the word unity. Mm-hmm. If the churches would come together and unify themselves, where men that stand behind the pulpit would bow their knee and say, I can't do it. It's not about my church. It's about the kingdom of God. And then if we would come together and pray and just love one another and not worry about who's in our church, but who is in the kingdom of God. Oh, how much richer would our neighborhoods be? How much stronger would every one of our people be that walk through the doors? When they wouldn't hear any of the nonsense of the divisions or a different church, but they would hear the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we dwell together in unity, there's great power. And I look forward to joining again with those pastors that have agreed to do the night of worship and prayer. Once we're back at it again, another week or so, we'll probably put it together. And I look forward to that night when we all just lay our lives down, we lay our gifts down, and we say, hey, we're here to glorify the King. See, sincere faith isn't worried about what we're building. Sincere faith is concerned about what God's building. And what he's building is eternal. What he's building is something that's perfect, spotless, and being prepared for his second coming. And that's what we're about. That's what our lives need to be wrapped up in. So he said, I long to see you. Oh, after 2 weeks of not being in the building, I long to see every single one that comes through the door. I long to see your smiling faces, hear the testimonies of how God has used you, how people's lives are changed. I long to grab a hold of those babies that come through the door and give them a hug and tell them how amazing they are. I long to give each and every one of you a word of encouragement and remind you of who you are in Christ. Yes, we can do it through this vehicle that God has given us, but there's nothing greater than wrapping my arms around you and letting you know that you're very, very, very valuable. Mm-hmm. You're the most valuable thing on this planet. Don't ever doubt it. And number five, Paul said in verse 7, I tell others about Jesus. I tell others. See, sincere faith is an overflowing faith. It's a faith that has to be poured out. It was God's desire that how many would perish, but none. In order for them not to perish, each and every one of us are going to have to be those that share the word and the love of God. So wherever your plans are for this summer, I want to encourage you, be prepared to walk in that sincere faith. Yes. And a sincere faith has to overflow. Yes. Maybe it's just letting someone borrow a lawn chair. Maybe it's dropping off a pound of roast beef or a pound of hamburgers. Mm-hmm. If you have an extra pound, we'll take them, okay? But maybe it's dropping them off to a family that you know is struggling a little bit. And maybe it's just going and praying for someone down the street. My wife's been taking her prayer walks, and she's met an elderly lady down the end of our road. I don't even know her name. I've never met her, but that's my wife's job. She's met her, and it's her sincere faith that has overflowed into this woman. And then she's asked if Gavin could come down and mow her lawn, and that she would pay him. So we see just kindness then rolls into a relationship. And in that relationship, we get to go down and serve. And so I want to encourage you. And in our serving, we're going to serve that lady like there's no tomorrow. In so many wonderful ways, she's bound to like something that we do. Amen. Because not everybody likes everything that you try to do for them. But this is how God changes people's lives. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:14, he said, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Oh, the most precious treasure there is, salvation, he has given you. And then God has deposited the Spirit of God inside of you in order to affect the calling of God inside of you. So I want to encourage you, guard the treasure, guard that calling. Don't let any circumstances take it from you. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. I care, but I don't care. That cannot stop you. You cannot cause you to draw back and say, I just can't do it. Ladies, I don't care where your children are. They're going to change because of the gift inside of you, because of the treasure that's hidden inside of you. They're about to change because of the authority that you're going to pray, knowing that you're going to change nations to the power of the gift on the inside of you.
That's right.
They're about to change because of you. Gentlemen, they're about to change. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that any man can boast. Every one of us are in the same boat here. Every one of us. Nobody's boasting. All of our boasting is in Christ alone. It's not by works.
Sure.
Our sincere faith is out of a love affair that we have with the Father. It's all based in love. And that love, it covers a multitude of sins. Thank goodness for that. Thank God for Him covering a multitude day after day in our lives. God deposited the greatest gift in Timothy. He deposited that faith inside of him. Stir up the gift. Guard that gift of faith. Remember where you started and where you are now, and then keep confessing what God said He's going to do in you and through you in the future. No matter what the odds are, all you need is the odds, one in a trillion, because that one is God is for you.
Amen.
And therefore, no matter how many odds are against you, one is for you is greater than the trillion that has come against you.
Yes.
All the demons in hell, you know what they do when you have the name of Jesus? They bow. Every sin bows. All sickness bows. Every aspect of your life, every demonic thought, it says, think on these things. You make it bow its knee. That's the authority that you have. That's the gift of faith. See, faith says, no, that's not the truth. I'm going to agree with the truth.
Yep.
Doubt says, oh, maybe it's me. Maybe for everybody else. It worked for you. I've heard this before. It worked for you, but it didn't work for me. I just want you to know, faith works for everyone.
Amen.
Every single person, faith works for you.
Amen.
In Christ. Christ Jesus. Every single one. Nobody is outside the realm of walking in faith when they trust in the Lord. One translation of 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, I got to read this one. As I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. That's my question today. I don't care what else is passed down through your family line. I don't care what your grandparents left you, what your father left you. The most powerful thing that we could ever leave our children is faith. The greatest gift we could give them is the gift of faith. A growing, empowering, strengthening gift of faith in their lives. And so he said, as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line, it began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example.
That's right.
How beautiful. Following in the footsteps of godly examples. I don't know about you, but I followed in the footsteps of some ungodly examples. Right, I remember going to bed with my 8-track tape player playing with the Doobie Brothers or with Kiss and all these other ones pounding in my head, desiring to follow in the steps of that foolishness. That's the songs I was going to sleep with. You wonder why I have problems. Now you know, all right? Everybody understands. You know, maybe you don't have a family line of faith this morning. Maybe you're the firstborn into the kingdom of God in your family line. You're the line of demarcation. You're the one that draws that line, that buffer. And that line you draw, you say, that's it. You'll come no closer. You'll come no farther. I'm drawing this line from now on. Nothing but the love of God. Nothing but the word of God. Nothing but the purpose of God. Nothing but the plan of God will come near me or my family. We're building a buffer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Right. And there's nothing that breaks through that hedge around me and my family. And today, maybe there's nobody in your family line that is walking in faith. I want you to know, today you start that family line. And there's going to be generations that speak. Moms, maybe you're a single mom and you're struggling this morning. I want you to know you're able to draw that line in your house.
That's right.
And say, even though it didn't start off perfect for me, I'm drawing that line. And Jesus is my buffer. And he built a big ring around me. And I'm going to hand a powerful, a mighty, a faith-filled heritage to my child, my children, whoever they are. Today, you start that lineage. And we'll hear in eternity one day, I'm the fourth generation of a mom. She didn't start out right, but she grabbed a hold of the word of God. And she said, no other man or woman will define who I am but the word of God. And we'll hear about four generations of men and women who have gone out and preached the word of God and changed the souls of men and women. And it all started because of you this morning. Oh, that's what we see. That's what we understand through the word of God. Oh, and it's possible. It's possible. Maybe you're out there this morning and you've made a lot of mistakes and you're struggling to try to overcome them. Well, that's where faith comes in. Because the Bible says you already have overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And the word of your testimony. Amen. See, the word of your testimony, the blood of the Lamb has already done its job. It's been washed away. Now the word of your testimony brings you from a place where you've struggled in your doubt and unbelief into a place of agreeing with God's word. And then it creates in you clean hands, pure heart, to be able to walk forward and not look back. Amen. Our God has made a way for you to press forward. You know, Mark 1:34 says, Jesus did not permit the demons to speak. That's a sincere faith. There's a faith worth grabbing a hold of. Amen. And we just agreed this morning, demons, shut your mouth.
That's right.
You're no longer allowed to speak into the ears of the men and women of God. Not on Mother's Day, for the mothers that are all walking in this time when you're balancing everything. You're getting up early and you're getting the children ready, the laundry ready, the food ready, the dinner prepared, everything that you're doing during the day, and maybe even working on top of that. And all of those things that you have to balance, I want you to know, Every lie in your head, you just say, shut up. You don't give that demon a lie. You don't allow him to speak. Jesus said he did not permit them to speak. That's the authority you have by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 10:1 said, Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That's a sincere faith. You see, you got to have sincere faith to believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. I know there's all the throngs that are out there joining us this morning. I know that you agree with me that he's given you. Moms, he's given you that authority. He's given it to you. It's yours. Grab a hold of it. And God will transform every one of your children, transform your marriage. Will transform generations to the woman or the man that agrees with the authority that God has given. Acts 16:31 said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved and your household.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't doubt it.
Yes.
That's a sincere faith. Sincere faith is going to have to look away or look above all the silliness that's going on in our families and say, no. He said he'd save me and my family. Yeah, but you said, Pastor, come on. My family's like the Jack in the Box. Anything all takes is just one little click and somebody's off and they're popped and they lose their minds. Well, we've all been the Jack in the Box at one time or another in our lives. And look what God has done. So let's remind ourselves that our whole household. In Jeremiah 46:27, he said, do not fear my servant Jacob and do not be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar. And your offspring from the land of their captivity. Man, I like that.
Yes.
I don't care what kind of captivity your offspring are in Jeremiah 46:27. If your offspring are in the land of captivity, he said, don't worry. I'm going to spring them loose. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to drive on in there. We're going to hook that treble hook, that big steel hook with a rope on it. We're going to hook it onto the back of the bumper of your car, and we're going to drive. Well, you better do it on a truck. You might lose your bumper on your car. He said, we're going to drive away. We're going to rip the steel bars out of that jail, and your children are going to be coming running out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Amen.
That's what he said. He did it. He said it in the Old Testament. How much more so under the age of grace that we're living in, where his mercies are brand new every morning. So get ready. Get ready. Your children say, hey, the window's missing out of my house. Just tell them, say, that's the way God's leading you. He's leading you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He's not one that does it only one way. God reaches each one of us so many different ways. He knows what the need is in our heart and what the cry is. And pretty much the cry is the same in every heart, to be loved, to be accepted, to be encouraged, to walk together in unity. No matter who you come in contact with, even the hardest of heart people, they want to walk in that way with you. And you know, in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. I probably laid my hands and prayed for most of you in the church, but I want to kindle afresh the gift of God that's in you. Our desire, ladies, as Kendra said, we're so thankful that you've worked so hard. Maybe you're tired. Maybe that gift has been set on the sidelines. Can I encourage you to kindle afresh?
Yes.
We just want that freshness of God to fill your heart, your spirit, and your whole house, that when you look up, your eyes would be overwhelmed with his. You would lock eyes with God. You'd be overwhelmed with his loving kindness and his presence, and that you wouldn't try to carry it all. He said, cast it on him. Yes, we have to walk out each day, but he said, walk in the freedom that I have given you. Walk in the boldness that I have given you. Walk in the peace that I have given you. He wants to take that stress from you. You've been working hard. He's a restorer this morning. He wants to restore you to a place of peace. You can't manipulate them and try to change everybody and do it all in your own strength. It's not by works that any man can boast. We do it by faith
That's right.
That God has built inside of each one of our lives. And that kindle afresh, it means to stir it up, to be reminded again that all things are new. All power and authority is yours. Your future and future generations shall serve the Lord and transform those around him. Ephesians 6, which we all know, 10 and 13, in closing is finally, be strong in the Lord and his strength. Moms, thanks for being strong. Dads, you'll get yours next month. All right, you don't get it today. Moms, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Know that even if your husband is struggling, even if he isn't saved, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because he's getting ready to spring your family out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then it says, of course, we all know, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the scheme of the enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Stop struggling against flesh and blood. Let them go. War in the heavenlies. But against the rulers, against powers, and against the forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist the evil in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. I want you to know we are living in an evil day. We're watching around the world. They're stacking bodies up in India. My heart breaks for India because they can't even get oxygen over there. And they're stacking bodies in all kinds of places. We see that they're torturing and maiming China those who are of a different belief. Regardless of what they believe, no human being deserves the kind of treatment that they're getting over in China. And our hearts just break for each and every one of them. But we're to stand firm. Resist him in the evil day. It's a day that you're going to have to resist. You're going to have to tell him, get out. God gave me the authority. You're going to have to tell them thoughts, go in the name of Jesus, because I'm thinking on things that are pure and lovely and are of good report and they have great virtue. I'm not thinking on those things that I thought before. Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. So you want to reap? You're going to have to stand on that faith. That faith that Paul proclaimed over Timothy's life, that sincere faith that Timothy was walking in. He learned it from his mama and his grandma. He learned it from those that were in his house. And he became a man that Paul said, I've met none like Timothy. I have none. Paul had many men that came on to walk alongside of him. Some of them couldn't handle the troubles, the trials, the persecution. But there was a young man that was trained by two women. And he was ready and able. I pray that there's a lot of young men trained by men. Oh, sorry. That's next month. I thank God for the young men that have been trained with only a mama in the house. And they're strong enough to take on the world. Yes. Stand against the tests Amen. And the lies of the enemy. Because they were brought up in a sincere faith.
Amen.
Each seed has its own specific time to germinate and bear fruit. It is important to understand that after sowing the seed, there will be a season of growth where resolve and patience is needed before we see the fruit. The seed you're sowing, you'll see it, mamas. You're going to see the fruit of your labors. You're going to see the payoff in your sincere faith. So happy Mother's Day to each and every one. We want to thank our moms who have stood on the word of God, even against all odds, and have already reaped the reward. You say that three times fast. already reap the reward. And oh yeah, thanks to the dads too, but your day is coming. All right. Your sincere faith. Listen, we want to pray and strengthen your faith this morning. We want to believe and agree that his word is mighty. It's powerful. It tears down the darkness. It destroys the curses. It opens up a new way of living. It removes the blinders and unstops the ears. It destroys diseases and sicknesses. Oh, it's mighty. It's powerful. It's a faith that has overcome the world. Amen. This is how we overcome the world, by our faith.
Amen.
So let's close our eyes in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for each and every one, every mama. Lord, bless them. Lord, those that have sat on her knees as like Mrs. Wesley in one house with 19 kids, just threw her apron over her head in the corner and her children knew not to bother her. There was no excuses for why she couldn't. She just agreed. I've got a sincere faith. I've got a sincere relationship with the Father, and I'll sit with him in quiet in the midst of chaos, and I'll pour into every one of my children. Father, I pray for every mom that they would just be strengthened this morning. Oh, they're the ones that can bring home the bacon and stir it up in a pan. And Father, they're handling so many things, wearing so many hats. Thank you for them and the expression of your love through them. There's nothing sweeter than a hug from a mama. There's nothing sweeter than a word of encouragement from a mama. And Father, I pray that each one of us would be reminded of those that have gone before us and prayed. Strengthen them all now in the name of Jesus. Bless each one of them, Father. Lord, to look around, and if all their children are out of the house, look around for one more. Look around for one more that they can encourage, that overflowing faith this morning. The one that would believe for the unbelievable. Oh, God, let faith arise this morning. Father, we pray your blessing on every marriage. Lord, that as every wife has stood and prayed for a husband, the husbands would bow their knees. For every husband that's praying for their wife, that the wife would bow their knee. For each child that's wayward, that they would bow their knee in the name of Jesus. For we agree that all the seeds that we have already sown are coming to fruition now in the name of Jesus. When the world says they're all walking away, we know they're walking in. Father, today, we thank you for bringing them home, each one. We thank you for saving each one. We thank you for transforming each one through the power of your love. And for those, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this morning and just say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I turn my life towards you. I walk away from my old ways. No longer do I want to walk in the foolishness of my sins. I want to come out of darkness into your marvelous light. Today, I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I believe that he is the Son of the living God. Today, I agree that that blood was enough. Agree with me this morning, for the Bible says that if you'll agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall be saved. His blood was shed for you. Come and enjoy a life beyond compare, where guilt and shame are destroyed, where fear no longer has dominion, for perfect love cast it out. Come this morning and join us in a life of freedom in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. We love you all. Hey, call your mamas. All right. Call them up. Go visit them. Come on. If they live far away, then zoom in. But go visit and make sure that you tell them you love them. God bless you and have an amazing day.